be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time came for the dinner, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves. First said, 'I've purchased a field and I must go examine it. I ask you, consider me excused. And others said, 'I've purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' Another said, 'I've just married a woman, and therefore I can't come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' Servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out and still there's room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedgerows and make people come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who are invited will taste my dinner.'" The Gospel of the Lord. What is the most important thing in the Christian life? If you ask St. John the Apostle, we know what his answer would be. It stares at you, John 13:34, over my left shoulder. Love. If you ask St. Bernard, it would be humility, which opens us to love, to receive God's love, and makes us capable of serving everybody else in love. If you ask St. Jose Maria Escrivá, he would say, it's sincerity. It's being truthful. The word sinceris in Latin means pure, unmixed. There's no double stuff going on. It's just straightforward and plain. Today, as we enter into the third phase of the letter to the Romans, the first phase was through the first 8 chapters. The second phase was for the most part cut out because of All Saints and All Souls. But it finished yesterday, the section on the salvation of the Jews. And the end of this letter is all about the Christian moral life, how we're supposed to live as God asks us to live. And I think the linchpin is when St. Paul says, let your love be sincere. It's not just enough to love, but it's to love truthfully. It's to love without mixture. It's just to love with all you've got. Probably the greatest weirdity in the 2-year lectionary is that as we're going 4 weeks in the letter to the Romans, the phrase that Pope Benedict cited most in his entire pontificate because of its centrality in our faith was excised, and we don't even have it. It's the beginning of the 12th chapter, which sets the table. But it's, I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Lord, your logike, latreia, your spiritual worship. And it goes on, don't conform yourselves to the spirit of this age, but be conformed by the renewal of your minds to the Lord, etc., to what is pleasing, good, and perfect. That sets this whole thing up, because our love must be sincere. There must be that self-offering and truth. That's what the Lord is asking for spiritual worship. To conform ourselves to the spirit of the world is to love a little, to focus and even devolve the term sincerity to feelings rather than facts, rather than truth. And that's what sets this up. If we're going to love sincerely, then St. Paul tells us we're going to exercise the gifts that God has given us. We're going to receive them as they've been given, not pretend that they're not there. And at the same time, employ them for the purpose for which they've given, rather than, for example, misapply them to our own purposes. So, if we've been given the gift of prophecy, we exercise it. We preach. Ministry, minister, teacher, teach. Exhortation. Generosity. Loving others with diligence. Doing mercy with cheerfulness. That we mean it. And then he builds by a litany of what sincere love looks like. If our love is sincere, we will hate what is evil. Period. Doesn't mean we won't do it because of our weakness, but we will hate it. We'll hold on, we'll cling to what is good always, and we'll focus on what is good in others. Focus on what's good in ourselves, focus what's good in situations. I've got this young man coming to see me now who has a priestly vocation. And a couple times ago we chatted, and you know, he was in a particular circumstance which it was easy for him to complain about. And I just said, try to focus on the good in that situation. Find it. Help others to see it so that it doesn't become a cesspool of complaint. He's a very sincere young guy. And he immediately started to act on it. And he noticed, he said, out of everything that you said the last time, Father, what was revolutionary in my life was just looking for the good, speaking about the good, obsessing almost about the good in the situation. It started to impact my roommates in a positive way. It started to impact the other faculty in that same way. And people just like to hear that there's something good. Love one another with mutual affection. Love's always supposed to be affectionate. If we're chaste, we will become more affectionate, not less. Anticipate one another in showing honor. To really honor each other, to lift somebody up, to say, I know you don't have to do this, but you do anyway. I'm grateful. It means to be zealous without growing slack, to be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord in all circumstances. It means to rejoice, endure, persevere, contribute generously, to be hospitable. For loving sincerely our enemies, we will bless them. For loving sincerely, we will share others' joys and sorrows. And we will, particularly if we're loving sincerely and seeing Christ in others, not be haughty, but associate with those who are lowly, not just as our equals, but almost as our superiors. To love sincerely is essential in our faith, and that's why it is the core of St. Paul's moral theology. It's not the only aspect of it. You do have to understand it within the context of life according to the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to love sincerely. Today's Gospel, Jesus talks about another application of sincerity. It's to be sincere about the response to his calling, to his invitation. He equates the entire kingdom with a banquet. He says, blessed are those. Well, somebody else said at the table, but Jesus echoed it. Blessed are those who will dine in the kingdom of God. And Jesus helps people to grasp exactly what the invitation is already. And he said, he's making the invitation. And so many of the scribes and the Pharisees, so many of the Jews who had received that original invitation were being insincere. They were making excuses. On the one hand, saying, I'm really grateful for the invitation, but I'm going to prioritize examining my field or evaluating my oxen. Or I'm going to prioritize the love I have for my wife over the love I have for you. So Jesus finishes this parable in which he wants people there, but he wants us freely to respond. He wants us to respond with sincerity. He wants us to align act. In contrast to his self-giving, he wants our logike latreia. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we know how blessed it is to dine with the Lord in the kingdom of God, and how more blessed it is to dine on the King. From the inside, he wants to do everything he knows we need in order to be able to love him sincerely, responding to his total self-giving by offering our bodies as a holy and acceptable sacrifice.